Another day, another dollar as a holler to the world. I love the way I'm living, love the Gucci, love the girls. Love the parties and the clubs, love the models and hot tubs. Love the German engineers set on deep dish dubs. Another tour around the world, entertaining the fans. I love walking through the airport, taking pictures, shaking hands. Every day for me's an oyster, crack it open, find a pearl. I love the way I'm living, is what I holler to the world.
Welcome back to Marking Out with MVP and Dwayne Swayze.
I am MVP, dressed in an immaculate blue pinstripe custom-made suit.
Here we go.
With a custom-made shirt. David Allen, by the way.
David Allen.
David Allen.
Right up.
Wearing designer sunglasses by, actually, these were a gift, and I'm embarrassed because I forgot the name of the company. Can you see that? You know, my eyes are failing. I don't have my readers on.
Megan 2, Top Fox. I don't know. Megan 2, X.
Oh, no, this is the design.
Oh.
But the brand is Top Fox.
Okay.
Top Fox. I was at a party at Bobby Lashley's house, a welcome to Houston party, and he had a number, it was a mixer.
Dallas, right?
Dallas, I'm sorry, yeah. Yes. My mistake, Dallas. Welcome to Dallas, when Bobby moved to Dallas. And he had a number of people there, you know, as we affluential money people do, rubbing elbows with people in different walks of life, different work areas, and making connections. And Bobby, being the classy individual that he is, had a few people there who were presenting tastes of bourbon, a brewery, a distillery rather. These people at Top Fox who gave out these really cool swag bags of very nice shades. These check those out.
Yeah, man.
And they're not paying me for this. There's no compensation at all, but I just thought these are some pretty nice shades.
Oh yeah, there's a Top Fox right at the top. Yeah.
So yeah, these are pretty dope, man. And I got these at Bobby's party for free. And they look good on me. I wear them well, don't I?
Agreed, yes.
Now let's talk about what is not worn well.
Oh, here we go. We're 4 days away from this holy day, which is why this is being worn.
Oh man, you know, I actually got into it way deeper on our Patreon. You should give us a look, subscribe, it's fun. I told him I don't really hate this particular sweater. You know, the whole ugly Christmas sweater thing. I don't hate this one, I really don't. He's got on some Stan Smiths, and I'm like, you should have at least worn the superstars with the red stripes. That would have really drove that home, you know? And then this man is one of my favorite people in the world. This podcast happens, this YouTube show happens because he makes the wheel spin, and he is not just an incredible, talented person who specializes in organization and logistics. He's also a creative and had the presence of mind, knowing that this episode would air just a few days away from Xmas. He put the Xmas boxes so that you would know that, you know, hey, it's a festive seasonal time of year. And while we talked about this on Patreon, I don't subscribe to any religious ideology. I do like Christmas as a tradition. I've enjoyed the holidays over in London with my good friends Vic and Sunil and Alan, where I've seen Harrods on full display lit up, you know. I like the lights, and I like the ambiance of the season, season's greetings, the Christmas spirit.
And singing.
I don't do Christmas caroling. I'm not into that. But I do like the music, though.
Okay.
Not all of it. There's lots of Christmas music that's just super corny, and I don't like it, you know. But there is one song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That I do enjoy. I like when it comes on. And no, it's not Mariah Carey.
No.
Absolutely not. Though I do love Mariah Carey. That song is just, There's a man named Paul McCartney. He's a legend that some of you may not have heard of, which I don't understand. I still can't think of that singer who didn't know who the Beatles was, whatever her name was. No disrespect, of course.
Tyler, does that sound familiar?
No.
Maybe? Okay, I'll have to look it up.
Oh, wait, maybe. No.
Yeah, well, sorry, Tyler.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't Tyler. If you said the name, I would know it wasn't that. Okay. But Paul McCartney was part of a super group called the Beatles. They invaded America and had a big impact on music around the world. But Paul McCartney, after the Beatles broke up, went on to have a pretty distinguished singles career of his own. And he has a song that I have to admit, it's a guilty pleasure. And Dwayne's wife also likes this song very much. It is my favorite Christmas song.
Yeah, hers as well.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Yes, I like that song a lot. Unapologetically, it is my favorite Christmas song. I wish I could play it now without getting the video pulled or flagged, but you can go look it up on your own. It's festive, it's fun, it feels good.
And he sang a bunch of it on Patreon, so if you subscribe.
Yeah, on Patreon, I really got deep into all this stuff, you know. But yeah, don't go to any Black Friday sales. Don't do it. That $10 off, would you say that 60-inch screen, yeah, $10, yeah. It's really not worth it. I'll give you the $10. I'll give it to you. Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. I am the half man, half amazing baller superstar, the vocal representative of the Hurt Syndicate, Montel Vontavious Porter, MVP. This is my partner in rhyme, Dwayne Swayze, and this is Marking Out with MVP and Dwayne Swayze.
You ready to talk some wrestling?
Yeah, you know, I need to touch these glasses up. We are still drinking the Yamazaki 17. I keep saying 17. You did that. You did that. This is Yamazaki 12 because I didn't have 17 in my locker. But I'm assured it's on back order. There is Yamazaki. This bottle you can get somewhere in the neighborhood of $150 to $200, depending on your liquor store and your relationship with your liquor store owner / manager. But I assure you, it's worth every penny. It's a little more expensive than your typical $50 to $60 bottle of whiskey. But you can tell the difference in the taste, I promise you. And I'm not being paid by Yamazaki at all. What I'm trying to do is help you raise your tastes, raise your standards. Enjoy a slice of life. Now, if you don't drink, fine, don't drink. But if you do, if you all want to partake of the single malt scotch on occasion, this is a great way to level up.
Yamazaki, call us if you want to talk.
Hey, so this. We definitely want to do business with Suntory this.
All right.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Oh, almost.
Didn't yeah, you caught it. You caught it.
I heard it.
You caught it.
Yeah, I got like a 2-second delay that the other way in my head, I guess. So, first question of the day, P. When you work under a mask, what extra cues do you use to communicate and sell?
Wow. I have only ever worked under a mask once in my career, and it was early in my career. When I was on the independent scene in South Florida. And I had the pleasure of graduating to go wrestle in Puerto Rico at that time. Dave Johnson, rest in peace, used to often say you got to go somewhere to get somewhere. And in my time coming up in South Florida, Puerto Rico was the territory.
Puerto Rico.
Oh. And it was really like one of the last true territories. And I got picked to come out and work in Puerto Rico for IWA, which was Savio Vega's promotion. And before we left, because we knew I'd be back in a few months. I was working with IPW, which was a very popular independent promotion in Tampa. And we did a little angle where the heels there, I remember Scoot Andrews was part of that group. I can't remember everybody else, I'm so sorry. But we did a little angle where they took my knee out with some chairs. You know, they injured me and put me out. So I was gone from IPW for a few months. I was actually in Puerto Rico wrestling 5 nights a week.
Oh, right on.
Improving my craft, you know, learning a lot, wrestling as a full-time wrestler. Earning $500 a week working as a full-time wrestler. 5 nights a week, all over the island. Great experience. And then I came back, came home, and we did this goofy, indie-rific thing where I came out with a mask on in my match against maybe it was Bruce Steele, formerly Agent Steele, maybe. For some reason, I feel like Bruce may have been involved. And I remember getting partway through that match and thinking, I got to take this thing off. Mm. And I can't remember what mask I had on, but I had on like some established Mexican luchador's mask. And I can't remember who it was, man. But I do remember thinking, I can't breathe. I need to take this off. And then later on, I was able to take the mask off and do the reveal. As if everybody couldn't tell, I was Antonio Banks already.
Tattooed.
Just way more jacked up, you know. But I also have had the pleasure of working with the greatest luchador of all time, Rey Mysterio. I've also had the pleasure of working with a number of great luchadors. I've worked with Blue Demon Jr. I've worked with La Parca. I've worked with a number of great luchadors who worked under the mask. And one thing that they all have in common is their body language. Because Vince McMahon would always say, you make your money here. Your face, your facial expressions convey so much. They convey joy, pain, agony, euphoria, all the things you can tell with your face, a luchador can't do because they have the hood. So they have to over-exaggerate with their body language. If they're happy, they have to show you with their body the way they're talking, the way they're moving. If they're angry, you know, their body has to tell you how they're feeling because their face can't do it. So when selling, you'll notice the great luchadors, when they're selling, will visibly show you what hurts and how much pain they're in with their body because you can't see the anguish in their face. So the way they're writhing, and I think I talked about this many years ago where one half of the assassins, Jody Hamilton, taught me that fingers curled up like this show pain. So if you hit me in the back and I go, oh, you know that hurts. So if let's say Rey Mysterio, for example, showing his knee hurts, he's gonna grab his knee, he's gonna hug it and rock back and forth and throw his head back and show you like, and he maybe even point to it, my knee, with his body, he's gonna show you, writhing in agony that he's in pain. I love watching the great luchadors sell injuries, sell pain, because they can't do it with their face.
Right, right.
So it has to come from their body. Perform.
Yeah, perform.
Tony Storm, perform. But with their body, no face. And I've had the pleasure of a number of times being in the ring, sharing the ring with Rey Mysterio and watching him sell for me. And one of the things I try to tell a lot of you younger wrestlers, because you're moving so quick and you want to get on to the next spot and you want to do your next cool move because you want everybody to see it, you know, you hear us OGs tell you, slow down. And if you think you're going too slow, slow down. It doesn't make sense to you now, but in time with experience, it will. When you have somebody like Rey Mysterio, who has the sympathy of the crowd, I did this for real. This was a true story. This actually happened, and the crowd got in on it. We were in a house show, and I think, you know, I don't remember where we were, but I hit Rey. No, Rey came off the ropes and he ate a high boot from me and took a sick bump. Needless to say, the whole crowd just, Ooh, boo. They were booing me, and I'm just standing over him looking around. Like, look at you, man. It's on. Look at him. And Ray is on the ground holding his head, selling, and you know, you see. And I went over and I reached over to grab Ray. And as soon as I touched him, the boos came up. Boo! I looked around, I took my hand off. The boos came down. They were still booing. I looked around. I kicked them. Boom! And everybody, boo! And as soon as the boos came down, I went to grab him. And the boos came back up.
Damn.
Boo! So I looked and I went, boo! 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 I looked all around and I was like, this is the coolest shit ever. You know, I'm still in character. But in that moment, the fans who were in attendance that night knew their job. And I learned a valuable lesson. When somebody is as over as Rey Mysterio, let them sell. Get your heat on them. Little by little, give them something to sell and let them sell. And if you're one of the young guys that gets to work me at some point because I still take bookings here and there, I'll sell for you. Let me sell. No backup. You're not going to pick me up and shoot me off again. No, I'm not running anymore. Till. Kick me and let me sell and show everybody, oh, he kicked my rib. Oh, that hurts. That hurts. That hurts. Oh, I'm dying right now. When you have somebody, Jeff Hardy was another one that I got to work with often, who was so over. If you literally lay a finger on him, the crowd explodes and boos. You got your heat, brother. You're in the heat. And as soon as he starts fighting back, and he goes off and hits the ropes and I put up that boot. Oh, he's you motherfucker now, huh? Yeah. This is the art.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
It's the art. And Ray's gonna move. Oh, God, I'm dying. I'm savoring how good it is when it's at its best. Pro wrestling, when it's at its best, if you're a professional wrestler and you've been in the ring and those moments where everything's hidden on every cylinder just the way it's supposed to be, you're telling the story, the crowd's receiving it, you're in there working with a professional that you don't even have to really communicate with because you know his shit, which is another thing about luchadors being able to communicate with their body. Sometimes, especially when you've worked with certain guys, you know just by how they position themselves what's coming next. And they've mastered the art of letting you know. And a little less sexy, a little less glamorous. They got a mask on. They can talk. They can talk to communicate.
Put the mask on.
Tell you. Except Ray, he has his cut out, as you know.
Oh, right.
Which helps with the breathing.
Right.
The physical part of communicating, you know, what's coming next or, you know, what's hurting is also one of the genius things about luchadors communicating under the mask. I went back for a second. That and the Whiskey Works. Shout out to Bill Murray, Lost in Translation.
If a ringside doctor pauses a match for a concussion check, how do you restart without losing the crowd?
Oh, wow. It's an interesting question, especially because that's Now, historically, that's not been done unless it was part of the show. An injury and bring out the doctor. And a concussion check is relatively new in the world of professional wrestling. Stopping matches for blood, like, that was unheard of once upon a time. Red equals green. We don't do that no more. If the doctor stops, somebody takes a nasty bump and gets banged up, and the doctor stops it for a second to check and make sure they're okay. How do you restart the match without losing the crowd? I would say that if you have a capable heel who knows what he's doing, my first impulse would be, if I was in that situation, was to try to get at that guy a few times and make them pull me back. If I'm a heel. If I'm a baby face, I'd show aggressive concern. Like, I'm still ready to fight, but is he okay, Doc? Is he, like, can he fight? You know, is he okay? You know, maybe looking a little bit like, okay, I'm a baby face. I'm a good guy. I want to beat him up, but I don't want to see him hurt. Right. You convey that to your audience, you know, with your looking around and, you know, and when they get him up, if he can go on, if he's a heel, then you even, like, you know, you lead the clap, like, yeah, okay, he's okay. We can continue the match, and then let him be a heel. Which at that point, you know, if he's a good heel, he's still selling like he's hurt. And then as soon as you come over to wrestle with him or something, bam, he clips you and, you know, does some heel type shit. If you're a babyface, I would say, and, you know, shades of gray, but in that situation, if it happened, I would tell him, I would, you know, if he was less experienced or whatever, I would say, like, have him fake. And then as soon as I come over to check on him, jump on me. If I'm a babyface and the heel, yeah, I think that I would have him attack me. Okay. No matter what, where we were at in the match, at that point, I'd have him play on his injury and then attack me, because that's definitely going to get, you know, get the crowd back into it. Oh, you piece of shit. Oh, we thought you were really hurt, you know. You weren't really hurt. You were faking all along, you know.
Yeah, taking a rest.
Yeah, that's one way to get some heat, you know. I was on a live event many years ago. And, man. This memory of mine, man. Cannabis and concussions, bro. it was Finley. And I can't remember who he was working. But somebody took a nasty bump. And they stopped the match for a minute, and they were checking on the baby face that Finley was working against. I don't remember who it was, but they did that. They had to stop. It was a nasty bump that they stopped, and they're checking on him. And Finley is, he's still working the crowd as a heel. You know, he's still kind of pacing and, you know, like, no. Where I'd learned that shit from, and kind of like, let me at him. And like, nah, Finley, back up. And he's like, you know, like, I don't care that he's hurt. He's showing everybody. I want to get right back on his ass. You know, let me at him, you know. And Finley conveyed to the wrestler, the babyface, as soon as you're up and you got a moment, you know, when they let you out, I think he told the ref to tell him. The ref went over and said, hey, when you get up and they ring the bell, dive on Finley and just start beating his ass. And, you know, the crowd, they're booing Finley now. Because he's, you know, giving them shit to boo as he's pacing. And so he's keeping the crowd entertained, and he's interacting with them to keep them engaged. And then as soon as, God, I can't remember who it was, but as soon as they're up on their feet and they got the okay to go on, you know, he just kind of did it for a second. Finley would turn for a second, was doing his, and they ring the bell, ding, ding, and he ran and jumped off Finley and started pummeling him, and the crowd came right up.
All right.
Now they were right in it. And he's laying it into Finley. And Finley's taking shots and he's, you know, selling. And he leans forward and grabs the dude by the trunks. And he falls backwards and grabs the guy. And the guy, I don't know if he told him to do it or not, or I don't know if it was just one of those moments where you know wrestling. And the guy just took a face forward tumble bump right into the corner turnbuckle.
Ooh.
Boom, sold the fuck out of it. Finley got back up. The crowd was right back into it. As soon as that dude jumped on Finley and he was kicking his ass, like, you had that coming. our guy who we like, he's not hurt. He's kicking your ass. And Finley, what he did wasn't really against the rules. He didn't really cheat. It was just a shitty thing to do. But he did that. And then that guy took a great bump and was selling his head. And immediately, all that, oh, woo. And they were right back into the thick of things, just like that. It really is just that simple. Psychology trumps all.
Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and share.
Let me repeat that. Like, comment, subscribe, and share with someone who you think might enjoy this content as much as you do. Thank you.
You know what, Pete? You had some comments about my sweater, my Christmas holiday sweater.
The ugly Christmas sweater.
No, it's not. This is not ugly.
You look over there looking like a candy cane.
But what about you, man? Let's.
What about your station?
Yeah, what about your station?
What about my station?
Let's talk about your station.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You talked about the suit. You talked about the watch. And it's nice and all and everything. No denying that. But what is this? Is this your initials on your shirt?
Excuse me, sir. This is a monogrammed.
Can you get this, Ryan?
Yeah, this is a monogrammed, custom-made David Allen dress shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
I mean, but it's yours. And it's in your closet. Nobody else.
You're not familiar with monograms?
I am familiar with monograms.
You don't own any monogram pieces of clothing? Step your game up.
I do not.
And I do not own a sweater like that at all.
This is.
But I got to admit, though, that is a nice little look right there. The Yamazaki with the Breitling, the monogram David Allen into the suit. Yes, I am a suave and sophisticated man of means, debonair. And I do say, beware an old man in a game where young men often die.
Do it. I almost did it. I didn't do it. All right, let's get another question in. When live cameras miss a key move, how do you fix it on the next segment or show without insulting viewers?
So that's a production truck issue. You usually have your production team, and you have the producer of the show. You have a bunch of people in there sitting in front of monitors, headsets on. You got your guys around the ring and cameras. You have your hard cam. And you have a conductor that's in there. And this is why you have producers nowadays. Because the producers at AEW, the coaches, are tasked with getting the beats of the match. They're tasked with giving you the time for the match, the finish for the match, and setting the tone. Here's the story we want to tell. Here's what we need out of this match. Then it's up to the talent to go and put that match together. Perhaps, depending on the talent's level, the coach will have some feedback. And then, once everything is ironed out and it's okay, this is pretty much what we're going to do. The match goes to the ring, and sitting at the go position, or in WWE as they call it, Gorilla, an homage to Gorilla Monsoon. At the go position, the producer has on what they often call the cans, the headphones, and is in direct communication with the truck. So the producer is talking to the truck, saying, okay, next they're going to go, get ready. They're about to go to the top rope, and they're going to do a superplex. That's conveyed to whomever the director is. The director says, okay, steady camera two. Okay, get ready for camera three. Get ready for camera three. Camera three, ready. Okay, go camera two. This stuff is happening live in real time. Sometimes something gets lost in translation. And a mistake is made, where a very important part of the match doesn't get caught, because usually a communication error, it was somebody made an error. And that's frustrating when it happens, and it happens. But the best way to fix it is to as soon as possible, take that segment, and not all this is, while you're watching, this is happening in real time. People are on the radio communicating. People are in the truck doing. Someone will take the camera footage of that important moment, edit it into a segment, and immediately, the first chance you get, you clue in, announce team, hey, we missed that big table bump a moment ago. We're going to bring it back. We're going to throw to you, Excalibur. Give me an Excalibur, for example, would say, you know, man, with all the chaos going on, what you missed was this sick bump with Darby Allin through the table. You know, and they show the replay of it, or maybe they do a screen and screen. There's different ways to do it where you can show it to everybody so that they missed it, but it's still there. What you can't fix like that is a finish. If you blow a finish, that's the finish. You know, you can't show a replay of the finish that you missed, you know, because, but generally, when that happens, when a major moment of the match is missed, it can be fixed really quickly with technology and professionalism, but it takes a team to do it, where you can have the announce team inform the audience what they missed, put it over, show it to them, and then go right back to the match in progress. Because they always show highlights of, right. You see a sick bump, something happened. You see it, and then they show it again, they show the highlight. If you miss it, you're not supposed to miss it because you have all these pieces in place to prevent people from missing it. But mistakes are made, things happen. And the best way to fix it is, as I just described before.
On night one of a character reboot, which entrance, gear, or body language choices signal change before a word is spoken?
Now, when you say reboot, what exactly do you mean? Give me a little more detail, context on a reboot. I mean, is this person hurt, been out for a while, and just coming back? Has this person completely changed their gimmick?
I'm thinking completely changed. I had Mick Foley in mind. I remember, you know, Dude Love, Mankind, Cactus Jack. So he would leave and then he would come back as somebody, you know, completely different.
Okay. Coincidentally, I've been at a WrestleCon before, where I got to sit right across from Mick Foley, where he spent the day signing as his different gimmicks. He spent several hours as Cactus Jack. He spent a few hours as Mick Foley. He spent a few hours as Dude Love. And I got a kick out of watching the people come. And some people came back three times to get each one, you know.
Whoa, he changed?
Yeah, yeah. He would sign for, let's say, 2 hours as Cactus Jack. And then he would leave. And he'd switch up, and then he'd come back and sign for a couple hours as Mick Foley. And he left, and he came back, and he signed for a couple hours as Dude Love.
Legend.
Oh, absolutely, legend. Absolutely. What a great, great guy. Okay, so that makes it a little bit easier to answer. Now historically, that question changes. You know, many, many years ago, they didn't even have music when you entered. And now everybody has music. The job guy who's only there for the night to get beat up has, you know, generic wrestler number 3 music, you know. But now, when you say a reboot, you're saying somebody who was once on television presented a certain way and was off television for a little while and now is being reintroduced with a different persona. I think, depending on how you roll that character out, is how you answer that question. If it's a situation where it's just one big, because we've seen it done a few ways, where somebody's been gone and you're like, hey, so-and-so comes back this night, they're back this night. You know they're coming back that night. And when they make their entrance, their music plays and there's a big moment and they come out and you get to see them and like, oh my God, they're back. Now, if it's a reboot and it's, this person's back, but we don't know, and all of a sudden, their music is different. Well, there's a key indicator right there. And they're dressed different. Maybe before they wore bright colors and now they just got on all black. And and the way they move is different. They used to be, you know, spirited, and now they're just kind of moving, you know, a little slower. So all of those things work together to present, oh, you've changed. And I think visually, I mean, it's a visual medium. The very first thing people do is hear the music. And if they keep the same music, then that's fine. But a lot of the time on a reboot, the music will change. So the attitude of the music usually changes to reflect this character. The next thing is visual. They see. And if this person has on, you know, completely new gear, face paint, you know, something that they've cut their hair, they've dyed their hair, now you're conveying a change, and the costume, ring gear, whatever, visually lends lots of visual cues to what we're seeing now. And then, of course, you know, Vince always loved his baby faces to smile. Well, if this person used to smile all the time and now they're looking kind of stoic, then you can see, okay, there's been a huge attitude change here. What happened to so-and-so, you know? I don't know, Sting just popped into my head. Sting used to wear, you know, neon colors and had the bleach blonde hair and, you know, the paint and would do his, you know. And then he fucked off and came back as the Crow.
The Crow Sting, yep.
And that Crow Sting was probably even more over than the original Sting, yeah, you know? Yeah. But immediately, now I wasn't around when that happened. I watched it in retrospect. But immediately, you felt some kind of way.
Yeah.
But the swerve was, you would think, based on how he looked and how he dressed, he was a heel now. But he wasn't. So it's like, hey, who booked this? So visually, you would think one thing, but his style changed. You know, the presentation of his character changed. It was a total reboot, but he was still a good guy. And just a lot cooler looking good guy, you know. I don't know how much his work changed because I wasn't watching at that time. So, like I said, I watched in retrospect. But that's the first thing that, like, comes to mind on a reboot. Like, Sting was brand new. I think that the easiest indication would be the tandem of different music to give you a different attitude, different visual presentation with gear. And then, of course, ultimately, at the end, how they work dictates whether they're a face or a heel, you know? And you put all that together, and if you put it together in the right quantities and you present it right, presentation is everything. You can fuck up a great Shockmaster, legendary Shockmaster. That character was done before it had a chance. Now, granted, you took a Stormtrooper mask and put glitter all over it. That didn't really help, you know, but... this character who was supposed to be so bad makes his debut and trips over the wood.
Come through the wall?
The helmet falls off and puts it back on and gets back up. And, you know, you got to feel bad for that guy because he was about to have a big push. Yeah. He was about to have a big moment. And wah, 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 wasn't his fault. And you know what happened? They had a 2x4 to brace that thing for him to come through. And whatever worker, whatever carpenter or whatever, didn't move the 2x4 for the brace, so he didn't know it was there.
Oh no!
And that's what I was told. How he tripped over that because some guy who I don't know whether he was doing his job right or not, whether that was supposed to be moved or whether somebody was supposed to say, "Hey, watch out for that." But that potentially cost a man a lot of money. Mm. You know. But yeah, reboot. I think the very first thing is people are going to hear the music and then they're going to see, and that's going to give them the oh. Shit, what happened to Joe, you know? And then once they see Joe in action, that cements whether Joe is with us or against us. Yeah, I think I covered that.
Four.
Any follow-ups?
You mentioned Sting. So that brought, since WCW time, that brought Hogan Hulk to mind.
Oh.
With the NWO.
There you go with the reboot. He always looked a certain way.
Yeah.
Always saw him with the red and the yellow and the bleach blonde. And then now, this new presentation of him wearing dark colors and then doing the beard dyed black.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, okay, now you're saying, I'm a bad guy now. You know, and that's a great example of, you know, a reboot and completely changing. You know, like, Undertaker's American Badass.
Yep, right on.
Total reboot. Not one of my favorite reboots. I think most people would agree that, I mean, a lot of people did like the American Badass, yeah. But bring back the Undertaker.
Yes. Yeah. It just made me miss the dead man.
Yeah, yeah. But hey, sometimes you got to go away.
10-4. Yeah. 10-4. So, Pete, before we head out today, man, the crew and I, we know you don't celebrate holidays. We know you don't like gifts and all that other kind of stuff. But we still want to give you a little something. Just to show you how much we appreciate you.
Oh, shucks.
And everything you've done for us. So I might have to step out of frame because I don't want to be concussed on camera. But this has actually been sitting here for you.
Now that's, talk about a swerve. Russo teach you how to book, man? All this time he's been sitting here and I've been complimenting him on what a great touch this was for the backdrop, you know, seasonal. And it was actually a gift in there for me.
Yeah, it's just not a nesting box. Not a nesting box.
Oh, fancy. I wouldn't expect anything less. Uh-oh. Well, ain't this a bitch? Are you? Garrison, the ass-eating cockatoo. But you know what, Garrison? Harley ain't here to save you today, pal. Yeah. Yeah. No. Don't look at me like that. Yeah, you were pretty rude and disrespectful when you had Harley here, right? Yeah. But I told you, I hurt puppets. So you know what happens to you?
You go bring it back to work, give it back to Harley.
Coffin match. I'm burying this shit in my backyard. Assy cockatoo.
Merry Christmas, man.
See that shit, man? See what I gotta deal with? See what I gotta deal with? I didn't deserve that shit. I didn't deserve that. Take us home.
Yeah. See ya, Space Cowboy.
Merry Christmas.
I just lay back in something new. Whiskey 21 and over low ball. Make it too neat. Dizzle from Harlem. Yeah, I'm from Houston off of Fondra. Mike Mazan and Real World Flow. These seeds in the streets and in weeks, watch it blossom. Dark night, riding on chrome, swinging through Gotham. It's me and Pete, repaving these roads.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.